So this morning we have Tanya Rosita with us. Tanya Rosita is going to be sharing the word, and I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it, because I know that the Lord has really given her a word that's in season. As she came to the office this week, and I did her slides, and I was looking at the scriptures, and I was just laughing, and I'm like, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a beautiful service this morning. So, Tanya Rosita, please come. Can we just give her a round of applause, please? We are so excited to hear what the Lord has laid on your heart.
You know, when I brought the notes, Marja said, I will keep it hidden. I won't put it up because everyone may walk out before you even start. So, but you've reconciled with what I'm going to share. Okay. But just before I share, is there anyone who can rejoice with me that the Lord made, that is what I'm saying, my hardened heart to melt before him? Who can say, I praise and worship God because of that? And you know, when we were worshiping, I remember on one occasion when David was leading the worship, and his little girl, she was possibly 2 or 3, sitting there in utter adoration. She couldn't take her eyes from Daddy. She was sitting there on the floor, and I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at her. And then I looked at Daddy, who is worshiping and who's playing the guitar. And the moment he sees her adoring him, I could see his body language. Oh, she's mine. And you know, as I saw it, I thought, when we praise and worship the Lord is saying to the angels, watch them, they are mine. God rejoices when we worship and we call in his presence. And there is nothing in my life I want to do more than worshiping God out of gratitude for what the Lord has done for me, for us. So now this is just a prelude, but now I'm going to start with a serious matter. Would you like to, the title says it all. Are you sitting on your chair, ears open, and don't run out until I'm finished? So I have taken, would you mind to get to the scripture? I've taken it out of the Amplified version, because there is no getting away that what James means is there spelled out. But the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is restless, undisciplined, irreconcilable evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse man who is made in God's image. Do you still want to carry on listening? Because this is rather reckless and well, discouraging. But take heart, the Lord has good news. You know, the tongue has also the ability to speak words of life. Words, it can be like honeycomb sweetness to the soul. And I don't know whether you know it, but honey, if you have a sore throat, try it. take a teaspoon of honey and it soothes. So it really has healing powers, I promise you. But also with words to the soul. If someone speaks uplifting, beautiful words, and you are in downcast, it lifts you. You feel all of a sudden you feel much better. So, but it has also sword piercing powers. Now that may seem strange, but we can receive words spoken to us which pierces the heart and become like a scar on our personality. So we have to be careful how we speak and what we speak. James is talking about that untamable tongue, and it likens it to a small spark that can set on fire a whole forest. Now, I'm sure most of you have watched TV in the last 10 days. The fires in Australia, the devastation. And it takes a long time to recover, and maybe at great expense. And that is what the tongue, when we use the tongue in a wrong way, it can have devastating effects as we speak it out. With the tongue, we can build up or we can break down. We can hurt or heal. We can encourage or discourage. We can speak lies or we can speak truth. We can speak life or death. We can speak judgment or we can be gracious. So, and there is a lot more what the tongue can do. And we mustn't forget, God spoke the word and he created the whole world and the universe. So the words we speak, the tongue, has creative power. And you know, the enemy loves to take advantage when seeds are sown in our hearts to distort it and make it grow like weeds. So, and then it has the power that we start believing it and we don't get to that what God has for us. So, and we know, if you have a garden, if you love gardening, I don't need to tell you how easily weeds grow and how easily it distorts your beautiful garden if you don't deal with it. So I would like to read the next scripture, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So I better love to use my tongue as an instrument of blessing than an instrument of hurting. So it is, you know, we've all heard the message of what I'm bringing, because I'm sure everyone is aware of life and death is in the tongue, because we've heard it before. But I am so glad. I was preparing a totally different message about 10, but I got so confused. And 10 days ago, we were reading James, and the scripture came up, the untamable tongue. And I thought, well, that maybe is what I'm going to bring today. So I changed my whole message just by once again reading it and being reminded of words we speak and the tongue. So we need to consider the consequences of what we speak. Because we don't know how small words get ingrained in our minds, particularly when you're children, when you're small. So Proverbs 19, and you're like a fire, it can be devastating. Would you mind to show the next scripture? In a multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Now when, and this week Derek and I had something, I was quite negative, and I realized if I spit out negative words, you don't draw people to yourself, you push them away. And so we need to be careful not to speak either negative words or criticism or being arrogant, because that does not represent the fragrance of Jesus. Then Proverbs 12:18. Now there comes the piercing words you can speak. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. I don't have to ask you which side you would like to choose. I'd rather be wise and speak words of life. The next one. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. There you've got it. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Now, I just want to give a few testimonies of sword-piercing words spoken out over me. And I start with, when I was young, I possibly was seven or eight, and I had a very serious accident. And with a friend of mine, we ran under a fast-driving motor car, and our faces were very, very seriously hurt, and I had a broken cheekbone. And as a result, my mouth started pulling skeeve, or a bit to the right. And my brothers, if they were annoyed with me, they started calling me scheef back. Now, to translate that is, I don't think I can translate it in the English language. It's not very uplifting or beautiful. And I was, from that age, aware that I was ugly. Now, they dared not tell me, call me by this name in the presence of my parents, but they did many a time. So I was ugly. And if I needed to speak or smile, that is how I would speak or smile, because that became ingrained, and that had a very bad effect on my self-image. I became very inferior and fearful. But years later, a manager, he came with honeycomb words to sweeten it. And he said to me, I love your smile, particularly when you have this little fun little scave mond of water. And I thought, oh, so maybe I'm not actually so ugly. Well, if some people think it is charming, maybe I need to hold on to that. So those are honeycomb. That was a honeycomb word. Now, but this didn't stop there. There were many more incidents where I had sword-piercing words spoken to me. And I'm sure all of you here can testify, oh yeah, that and that and that happened to me. Well, this particular, I was born in the war, so there was no riches. I was brought up really in a very poor circumstances. And if I see poverty, I'm reminded of the poverty I experienced. To give you a clue, as a little girl, I wanted roller skates. But there was no money for roller skates. So if my brothers were not at home, I would put under my feet with some string their dinky toy cars. And they were my rollerblades for 2 or 3 minutes so that I could have my way. It was never for too long. But so there. I went to a school, a Catholic school, and the first grade was nuns. So she was a nun. Now you had the A and the B class, and the A was the poor, and the B were people who could afford to pay the school fees. So I was at the A side, and I suppose I was always a chatterbox. I'm not so sure, but I may have been. And I may not always have been this perfect girl. And so the nun was irritated with me at one point. She called me forward. She was going to sort of scale me out or so. And she said, and you better be quiet. Your parents haven't even paid for the school fees. I was broken. I thought, I have a scave back. I'm ugly. I am poor. I'm not good enough. I am, so my inferiority, I was very inferior and very, very quiet. Now, when there are always ways you find you want to compensate how do you call it, to protect yourself. So I was getting more and more careful with the truth. And as a matter of fact, I started lying about the circumstances because I didn't want anyone to know who I really was. But you know, that was all the things the enemy liked to rub in, the wounds, and start to believe it. So, but I was in a very bad space at that school. But again, there were honeycomb words some years later in Standard 4. This teacher, she knew that this little one needed some extra attention and a bit of love. So she always asked me out, and she would say, stay behind and you can water the plants. And she would then see what was behind my behavior. And so in that, she made me feel, oh, I was actually special. There was someone who cared for me. And so she spoke words of healing. Then I went, I had school training only up to Standard 6. And from there I had 2 years of domestic science. Because of circumstances at home, there was no way I could do anything else. And, well, you know, when you have just domestic science and Standard 6, your CV lacks a bit of conviction. There is not so much you could say and brag about, thinking you see, I'm worth employing. I'm quite. But so it, I was this person who, well, you know, that is what life is to give me. So you know. But the awesome God we serve was pursuing me. I didn't want to know about God because of the circumstances at home. I didn't think God could be love, so I didn't want to know anything about God at all. But God knew about me, and God knew how to pursue me. And in the end, he knew that my heart at one point in time would be melted for his glory. And so my first job was for a fashion designer. And I had the privilege of doing sewing on hats. You would have loved the job. But the fashion designer, he liked me quite a lot. And he sort of, if he was designing something, he would call me out and he would drape the bits around me and put hats on my... So I was a good, in that sense, maybe a bit short, but a reasonable model to display his wear on. And so, but his friend was Elizabeth Arden's top hairdresser. And this hairdresser, he thought I was maybe more suitable for Elizabeth Arden's purposes. And so, but I was getting out of my inferiority because now I was sort of thinking I can do better than I have done. So I got a job for Elizabeth Arden. And I worked for them 9 years. And very soon I was a traveling representative. And they call it, I was, that was my name, my title, a visagist. Is there anyone who knows what a visagist is? Okay. Call it a makeup artist. So I traveled around the whole of the country, doing promotions, beauty schools, all sorts. I loved it. It was cut out for me, that job, until piercing words came to my... We had an annual get-together in a very posh hotel, and a new line was introduced by one of the top guys of Europe, and yeah, we all had to be there to be instructed and what have you, and we had to fill in new papers. And here, the gentleman who presented it all said, when he was finished, "Any questions? Is there anyone you don't anything? Any of you don't understand?" And so I wanted to make sure that I was going to fill in the forms correctly. So I and Mrs. De Slechte was her name. She was the manageress of the salon, the biggest salon in The Hague. She said, "Ignore her. She never understands anything." It didn't take me any moment to run out of the hall, locked myself into the toilet, wept and wept and wept, and my eyelashes fell off and my mascara was all over, and I didn't look any longer at that lovely, presentable young lady representing Elizabeth Arden. I was broken. And you know what the devil does? All of a sudden, again, all the baggage from the piercing words spoken over me became all of a sudden reality again. I'm not going to ever make it. I'm ugly. I am poor. I'm no good for anything. I will never, ever get a... Because obviously, when you don't know the Lord, and I didn't know the Lord, you it is your self-image. It's only when one invites the Lord Jesus that you start realizing in the Lord you have a whole new perspective, a whole new identity. But as long as your identity is not in Christ and it is in self, it is going up and down and up and down with circumstances. So this was Mrs. De Slechte, who did a very poor job. And we can look at the next. Is it still going? Do you still hear me? Okay, good. Proverbs 15, verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Now, this, what Mrs. De Slechte spoke out over me, was perverseness, and it breaks the spirit. But once again, I was for 5 minutes at least locked up in tears in the toilet. There was a permanent knocking on the toilet door, and here my boss, Mr. Talboom, he thought, I'm not going to leave her here. I've got to get her out of this toilet. And as I got out, he put his arms around me and gave me truly words of encouragement, and he just knew. He had to do something for me, because I could have walked out actually in the toilet. I might as well make an end to my life, because there's never going to be anything. And that is what sword-piercing words can do. If you take a piercing of a sword, it's not like a little cut. You sort of put a little plaster on it. It goes deep. And words can go very, very deep. So, the untamable tongue needs to be tamed. we need to bring it under the Holy Spirit and recognize, Lord, put a guard before my mouth. Put a guard and help me to be, if I'm angry or fed up or under stress or if I am offended, help me to count to 10 or to 20 before I speak. Because it's easier to lash out when you are not in the right space. If everything is going well, it's easy enough to sweetly smile and speak. But if you are under pressure and all sorts, it's far more difficult to not hurt with your mouth. And if the Holy Spirit convicts, you know, please, in humility, try to make up as soon as you can. Because if you don't, it takes a lot more courage and humility if you do it weeks or days or months or years later. So if you've discovered, oh, I shouldn't have said that, and the Holy Spirit convicts, be humble and go before it breaks up even a marriage or a relationship. Be humble and say, sorry, I was in the wrong space. I recognize that I have upset you. Please, forgive me. And don't forget Proverbs 18:21. Life and death is in the tongue. So we need to discern, and we need to be incredibly careful. If we lash out with the tongue, you don't draw people, but people think, oh, stay out of her way, because it could be quite a fiery discussion or be very negative. So it's pray and ask the Lord to zip the lip and let the fragrance of the Lord and words of healing and upbuilding and that flow from the innermost part, because the word says out of the fullness of the heart the mouth speaks. So if I'm full with the joy of the Lord and with his peace, and then out of that I will speak, I will minister, I will give. But if I'm all frustrated and angry and fed up and annoyed, and out of that we cannot speak words of life. So I hope this is just about, I can stop here. There's possibly a lot more about the tongue, but I would say I'll stop here. And if any of you have been on the receiving end and you feel, I'm struggling with that and that and that as a result of what has been spoken out over me, please, if you want to come to the front, I'm sure we can pray with you and for you. If you have been on the lashing outside, maybe you need to sit quietly and let the Holy Spirit bring conviction and show you so that you can be healed and delivered. Because the tongue can bring you down, even when you speak it out, because you realize, oh, I shouldn't have done it, and the consequences. So if you like to be quiet 2, 3, 6 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, please feel free. But this is what I had on my heart to share. And if anyone would want to come forward for prayer, I'm sure I'm not the only one who's willing and able to pray, but please feel free. Amen.
Thanks. My wife has given me a chance to speak. She's very gracious. Yeah, I think take a couple of minutes just to reflect on what Rosita said. I've obviously heard most of what Rosita said before, so I know her story. And we talked about the tongue and things like that. And I realized this thing goes both ways. You know, we can be hurt by piercing words that people have spoken out to us, sometimes even unintentionally. Sometimes it's not even malicious, but it's thoughtless or careless, or they don't even realize that's a sensitive area or a sore spot in you. So if what Rosita said has stirred up in you perhaps unpleasant memories of previous hurts, and you realize that you're really not fully healed in that area yet, and you'd like someone to pray with you, then please, in a couple of minutes, just come forward. There'll be plenty of us here that can pray for you. And then the other thing I think Rosita also mentioned at the end there is that we sometimes are also the guilty ones. Sometimes it's us that is lashing out to people and has hurt people. And sometimes when we're being really honest with ourselves, we know we have a bad tongue, and we lash out and we hurt people. And if I'm a believer, it's not good. If I recognize that in me, then I need to do business with the Lord as well. And so if there's anybody who in the message just recognizes that in them, then, and you want someone to pray with you, come forward as well. And you know what I also realize happens to us is that I've heard on a slightly different subject that Sometimes a young boy growing up may see his father abuse his mother, physically even, and hate his father. And yet somehow he grows up to be an abuser as well. And I think this can happen with the tongue. We can be hurt by the tongue, often from a young age growing up. And yet perhaps out of a type of coping defense mechanism or something like that, as much as we were hurt by the tongue, we can become a hurter with the tongue as well. So if there's anything in any of these areas that speaks to your heart today, if you just want to do business with God yourself, that's fine. If you feel that you just need someone to pray with you, definitely we are here to pray for you and with you. And there's just something else I want to say as well. On others of you may want prayer. I think when I brought the offering message about when we get saved, a taker becomes a giver. And then when Stefan testified earlier on how when he first came to the Lord, that there's that love in his heart for the Lord and that it's such a special occasion. And if there are any of us here who, they got saved, they were a taker, they became a giver, but it's sort of slowed down. Like Stefan testified, they had that incredible love, you had that incredible love relationship with the Lord at the start, but that has receded as well. So if there's anybody here who just, you know in your heart and the Holy Spirit is convicting you that your relationship with the Lord is just reduced to a level that it's concerning you, that it's not right, and you want to put that right, then also if you feel you would like someone to pray for you, feel free to come for prayer as well. And just finally, if you're here and you've never given your heart to Jesus, and you want to do that, we'd love to pray with you as well. So I think on that note, those of you who like prayer, please feel free to come forward. We'll pray with you. For the rest of you, the service is closed. Enjoy a cup of coffee. Okay, thanks.
You give life, you are love.